We're going to talk about this today, but before we do, I just want to get our hearts to settle down and just quiet ourselves before the Lord. And individually, I want you guys to invite the Holy Spirit in to illuminate your mind and your heart to receive what the Lord is saying to us. Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you have for us. Lord, a lot of that things we don't understand in the physical, but Lord, spiritually, you can illuminate truth to us, God, as we see what we have for the future. And Lord, we may not even live through some of these times, but Lord, as we know this is what's coming, Lord, help us to prepare ourselves, but most importantly, let us help us to prepare others for the things that are to come, and then not to be afraid, because God, we know that you are God of all things, and Lord, we're on the boat, and so Lord, we can get through the storm when we're with you. So we love you, we thank you, and we ask God that you'd bless this time in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week we talked about practice what you say you believe. And so it kind of, there was some conviction that jumped on some of us maybe. Practicing what we're talking about and what church is about, what we do for God and with God, and our relationship with, not only with God, but with others. And we found out that who Jesus was talking to, he was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees of the day, and he called them hypocrites. He said, guys, do what they say to do, but don't you do what they're doing, you know, which is what, that's pretty much the definition of hypocrite, right? But he was saying what they're saying is all good, but they're not doing the things that they're saying or what they're teaching you. They're not doing it. And then we went and took ourselves and kind of looked at ourselves individually last week and thought, came to the place, are we doing anything like that? Are we telling other people what they should do, but we're not doing it ourselves? Are we in that boat? Or do we really practice what we say we believe? And so we broke down the word hypocrite. We've seen where it came from. It's a Greek word which means actor. It's an act. It's all just a presence of acting and not really being a Christian. You're just acting like one. And then we talked about excusing our sins and condemning others. Looking at others in a way that is saying, well, you guys are wrong, when we are sinning ourselves. So we can't judge one another. We can help one another, but the judgment belongs to the Lord. He is the judge. We are just ones that are supposed to encourage each other, help each other get to the place that God's called us to be. So we're going to go on and read in Matthew chapter 24. I don't know about you, but this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. When we get into Scripture like Daniel, Matthew 24, and Revelation, it's fun for me, and it should be fun for you to get in and study the Word to know what's going on here, because Daniel basically has written this in advance in the Old Testament, was talking about what was to come, and he correlated that into different prophecies, and he shared that, and it was written, and then Jesus came and fulfilled most of those prophecies that Daniel was speaking about in that time that they lived in, and then it went on into the future, because the Bible is written past for past, present, and future, right? So we're living in the present days that we're living in, but the Bible also is very clear about the days we're living in. And I'll correlate some of that as we go through to share with you where we are, what I believe where we are in Scripture. And so we look at that and we see that we can study the Scriptures to see where we are and then evaluate what the things are that are coming so that we can prepare. Now, I know this. I know that God has kind of spread his Spirit about, and he's kind of sharing with the churches in general and about preparation for the times to come, because we're headed into some difficult days. We've been through some difficult days, but we haven't seen nothing yet, right? These days that are coming our way are going to get more difficult as we go. Do not fear. And you shouldn't have a thing to fear, especially if you're following the Lord, right? Because why? He said these are the days like the days of Noah. Remember? And Noah built this ark and he prepared for the day when this stuff was going to come. And he says, look and watch and see. I've written this for you to understand. He said, these days are going to be like the days of Noah. Now, if you're preparing, right, you're going to be on the boat. If you're not preparing, you're not going to be on the boat. And it was as clear as can be. The question is, have you prepared and are you ready? Are you on the boat? right? And so he's telling us, he's correlating these things to us today so that we can see the days to come, right? He doesn't leave us not knowing. He gives us very clear understanding of what the days are ahead. Just as Noah shared, you guys, the days ahead are going to be rough. I mean, they're going to be wet days, real wet. And if you're not preparing for a dry place, you're going to be in trouble. And the Lord, you know, give him what? How long did it take Noah to build that ark? That was a long time for him to share the truth with everybody. And listen, we've gotten the truth shared with us. The days are coming, right? We know that, do we not? We know the days are coming, and we need to prepare for those days. Well, what does that mean to us? Well, we're gonna look at this. We're going to break it down a little bit. So I've entitled this, Ready or Not, Here He Comes. Ready or Not, Here He Comes. And so whether you're ready or not, Jesus is still coming. And hopefully you'll be ready, okay? And listen, here's the important thing that we need to understand, because the Bible is clear. It's going to happen on just an ordinary day. On a day that will be a surprise, that you won't think will happen. It's going to be like a thief in the night. I mean, if you knew that the thief was coming, what would you do? You'd prepare, right? And then the Bible says you'd have a big dog like Gary's got to keep that thief from coming in, right? So you prepare for things. And so it's going to be an ordinary day, just like a day. I mean, things happen on an ordinary day. Lots of things happen on an ordinary day. I mean, you think about your life and things that have happened in the past on an ordinary day. You lost somebody, maybe in a car wreck or something that happened that was devastating that you never thought would happen, but it happened on an ordinary day. And that's the same way Jesus is going to come. He's going to come on an ordinary day, just a regular day, and everybody's going to be, people are going to be eating, drinking, giving in marriage, marrying, doing all the things that people do. So the thing we need to understand is to keep ourselves prepared and ready and keep looking and watching and reading Scripture. So we'll break this down a little bit. Let's start in chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus came out from the temple, and he was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him, like he hadn't seen them before. And so think about it. They're walking along, and the disciples are going, man, Jesus, have you really stopped and checked this out? I mean, look at that temple. Is that the most beautiful thing you ever seen? Right? And all the buildings around it that they built, and it was just all for God. Right? And they're pointing this out to Jesus. Right? So Jesus says, he's going to give them a little future context here. So he says, and he said to them, do you not see all these things? Now, didn't the disciples just tell him to look at these things? Weren't they the ones that pointed it out? Now, what is Jesus going to start doing? He's going to start teaching spiritually right here. He says, now, do you see these things? Do you really see it? Do you see it? And that's the question he's asking. Do you see these things? Do you really see them? So what are you looking at? Basically is what he's saying. What are you really seeing? And he's saying, he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. So they're looking at the temple, right? All these things happened. Those of you that are Bible scholars and done a little research, that happened in AD 70. It got completely destroyed. So it didn't happen right away, but it did happen. And Jesus prophesied it, said all these things are going to get destroyed. Are they still that way? They haven't built a temple since. It's still that way. Now, all I know is that people who play this game of Christianity and all that stuff, that all that stuff's going to get torn down. One day you will stand before the Lord and give an account for your life. And when you stand there, will it all come apart? Will it all unravel on you? Or will you stand firm and be strong and know that who your God is? And how you were saved, and who saved you, and that personal relationship. So in AD 70, that was completely destroyed. It hasn't been rebuilt. So as he was sitting, well, now, listen, Jesus talked about future, and if you look about future, if you look at now, after that was during their time, and he showed them future in AD 70 that would happen, and he would rebuild it. Remember, he even told him back before he would rebuild the temple in 3 days. So what he was saying was that he's going to destroy this earthly temple and raise a physical temple. So he was raised from the dead so that we could live, right? That's the picture. And we, when we accept Christ, we rise up to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where is the temple today? It's you. It's you. You are the temple of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's not in earthly dwellings, right? It's not there no more. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. How did that happen? That happened because Jesus died on the cross and he sent the Holy Spirit. The spiritual temple lives in you. And that's why you have to be so present in knowing and being mindful of who you are in Christ. You are bigger than you think you are, stronger than you think you are, more important than you think you are. All these things God allowed for you so that you could rise up and be who God called you to be. So verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Has many done that? I mean, it's happened all over. I mean, different religions and different things have come and gone and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, see to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. So what has taken place when we talk about wars and rumors of wars? If you look at history, you'll see that there was world wars, World War I, World War II, major conflicts across the world at the time and the time to come. There's going to be all of these things where people, where nation will rise against nation. That was the world wars, and that has taken place. It's already happened. We're in a place now where if we did a world war, this next world war, let me tell you something, guys, it's not going to be like the last one. The technology is so huge now when it comes to a world war, there's not going to be two people shooting at each other, right? They're going to drop the big boys, and it's going to wipe out billions of people. And so the days of physical warfare are at an end. That's over. Now they've come to a place of destruction. And so we know that, right? We're living in a time of understanding. We understand that today, do we not? We know the technology that we have now. It is amazing. And with a lot of this stuff, we don't even know, right? They've kept it from us. There's more to all of this than we know. And when we look at our history and where we've come from and where we are today, and be honest and know that, and any, you don't even have to be a believer and see what's coming, right? It's just evident. I mean, things are volatile in these days that we live in. In the Middle East right now, guys, I'm telling you what, you don't even know. They don't tell you what's going on. Yeah. You don't want to know. You just want to be listening to the Lord. So we've gone through world wars. And so verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom and various places where there'll be famines and earthquakes. Woo-hoo. What's going on right now? There's more earthquakes going on since the history of time, this time again. And they're getting more and more prevalent. More things are happening. They're wiping out cities by the droves. That earthquake that happened in Japan made that tsunami come in. You guys, those things are happening real regular. The Bible talks about the earth being in birth pains. Boom, boom. And it says it'll be increasing. It'll continue to be increasing, and it'll get worse and worse. Yeah, and so these things are right there before our eyes. And those who want to stick their head in the sand can. And people do. They say things like, oh, this has been going on forever. Well, it hasn't. And there's statistics behind it. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. That's the beginning. So we're in these beginning times of things getting worse. So then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now the name of Jesus is going to come to a place where many people will just mock you and just say, you bunch of Christians, you Jesus freaks, you nuts, crazies. At that time, many will fall away. They won't be able to stand under the pressure of people calling you, you know, Jesus freaks or weirdos or all that. And many will fall away and will betray one another. They'll fall away and they'll leave their parents because they're Christians and do something worldly. That's going on all over the place. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And that's going on right now. Because lawlessness is increased. Is lawlessness increased? I was talking to a guy in Seattle. He was from Sweden. He was a Swede. And I was talking about our economy and stuff. And he just looked at me and kind of laughed. He says, Dave, he says, listen, you don't know what a bad economy is. He says, when you go to third world countries or other countries in a bad economy, this place right now is awesome. And everybody that lives here still has a pretty good, it's going on pretty good. But we remember what good was. And it's starting to slip off the other side. So because of lawlessness, right now I'm not talking about just lawlessness of people in general, but our leaders in lawlessness, right? There's lawlessness going on among the leaders of our nation, right? So there's lawlessness across the board. Because of lawlessness increased, most people's love will grow cold. Where is the love of mankind? Where's your love for mankind? Or do you judge? Or do they deserve it? Or do they not deserve it? Or who is worth it? Who isn't worth it? I know God loves everybody. And he wants us to do the best we can to do the same. But the one who endures to the end, the one who hangs in there and keeps Christ first in their life, clear to the end, he will be saved. I don't think he said that by chance. That was an encouraging word for us. Endure to the end. You should tell yourself that once in a while. I'm going to hang in there. I'm not quitting. Whatever's trying to get me to quit, I ain't quitting. I'm not quitting. You need to start bucking up, get strong, and be courageous. And know who you are in Christ. Know that these things are going to be difficult. But why would you want to quit? Because your emotions are tired. Your soul is tired. Your mind, will, and emotions are getting caught up in all of the stuff and the action of the world and the destruction of things that are going on and the difficulties of life itself. And you're just getting overwhelmed by all these things, financial issues, sicknesses, people and what they do to you. All these things can overwhelm you. But don't be discouraged. Be strong and don't quit. It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Where are we right now, even in technology? Guys, I'm telling you, there's not many people who haven't heard the gospel message. I mean, we have satellites. We have TVs all over the world. We have all kinds of message going out there about the truth, the gospel message about the kingdom, about Jesus and what he did. 15, therefore, for when you see the abomination of desolation, and when you look at Daniel, what is the abomination of desolation? They're going to, if you read on and you start understanding what's going on, you'll see that in Middle East, Israel, they want to rebuild the temple. They have everything to do it, right? It's just a matter of when they do it. They're ready to go. They just haven't allowed them to do it. And the idea is that, well, this freedom of religion, they're going to build the temple right back there where, next to the mosque. They're not going to tear that down. They're going to say, well, freedom of religion. You guys can have your way of sacrifice and your way of religion too. It's cool. So they'll just be right next to each other. And everybody can worship however they want. Isn't that the way people are thinking now? There is no absolute. You guys have your way. Do what you want. Do what you will. That's all cool. It's all cool. Right? I'll do this. You do that. That's the way of the world, right? But don't be picking on me, man. Because, you know, dude, I mean, I like it the way it is. And I don't want no rules and regulations because I am free. I'm free. So don't be messing with my gig, right? Well, listen, there are absolutes. And if we don't know that, we better find out. because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he does not change. And if we don't figure that out, we've already lost the game. So there is absolutes. There is one way, and that is through Jesus Christ, who is the only one that died for your and my sins. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, and that's when the Antichrist stands in this temple that they're going to build, and he's going to say, I am God. I'm the guy. I am Jesus. Right? And he'll do that. And people are going to believe this. You know why? Because he's going to do all kinds of miracles. There's going to be awesome things. And when that happens, you as believers need to look and say, no, no, that can't be true. Because Jesus told us. The abomination of desolation, which was spoken through the prophet Daniel, who prophesied, he's standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. So didn't he tell us in advance? He's already told us in advance what was going to happen. Now, it hasn't happened yet. The abomination of desolation is yet to come, so it's in the future. He's talked about past of the temple in AD 70 when it fell. He talked about present of what was going on right then. Then he's talking about future times. He talked about the world wars and all the things that was going to happen. These things must take place, which we've seen happen from our history. We know that these things happened. The Jews in World War II were killed off by the droves, the concentration camps. Why? Because of the sake of the Lord, right? They didn't want these guys to live, right? And it's still that way today. So they destroyed these people. They're trying to kill them off. They're trying to kill them off today. And listen, you're in that boat now, right? You are a believer in Jesus Christ. You are in that boat where you're not going to be at the top of everybody's list to be the one, you know, that everybody's going to gravitate to because you believe in Jesus, right? In fact, the opposite's going to take place. You'll be persecuted for your belief in Jesus. And that's when the people that are standing for the Lord and they come and say, oh, you better deny this Christ or we might just throw you in prison. What are you going to do? Have you thought about that? Have you given that some serious thought? When somebody comes to you and says, look, if you say you're a believer in Jesus, you know, we're going to take you and stick you in jail. Or maybe we'll kill you. So what are you going to do? Wait, just a minute. Now, maybe I'm not such a believer in Jesus. I don't want to go to jail. Or are you going to say, whatever you're going to do, you better do because God is my God and Jesus is my Savior, and so be it. Right? You better cross that bridge now because when it stands right before you, you're going to find out what you believe. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. So when Israel builds this temple and the abomination of desolation happens, the Antichrist stands in that temple and calls himself God, right? Or he's Jesus. Then he says, hopefully this doesn't happen in your time, but if it does, here's what you need to do if you're in Jerusalem or in that time at that place. He says, then those who are in Judah must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetops must not go down and get the things out of their house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back and get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter, because that'd be difficult, or on the Sabbath, because the Jewish people at that time wouldn't leave, right? Because it was the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation. And this here, I believe, is what we need to be looking at. Because we've seen everything else, haven't we? There's only a few things that has to take place before the great tribulation takes place. It's all setting itself up for this time, is it not? If you look and watch the world in its place and where we are and what's going on in the world sphere of things, you're going to see that this great thing is coming down upon us, knowing that God is true. It's what he says is going to happen is going to happen. And when you see this thing happen, this great tribulation is going to come right after that period when they build the temple and the Antichrist stands in the temple and he claims to be God. That's when all hell is going to break loose. And this, I believe, is what we're watching for. These are future times. This is what we're looking for. We're looking for him to build the temple, first of all, and they're right there. As soon as that happens, it's going to just keep going quicker and quicker and quicker. So when that temple is built, you'll see the abomination of desolation. There will be a world leader that steps up and says, wait, I've got a plan, right? And he's going to come up with some great ideas. This guy's going to be sharp. And he's going to put things in place, and people are going to go, yeah, he's the man. And then he's going to say, okay, I'm the leader. I'm the guy. I'm God. Didn't I do all this for you guys? And people are going to go, yeah, dude, you're it. You're the man. And then when that happens, watch out. So the abomination of desolation, a great tribulation, such has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. So listen, you guys, we've lived through, in my generation, we've lived through times it wasn't so tough. We've been blessed, honestly, we have. We have not had, like our grandparents went through, and my dad right in the end of the depression. I'm depressed. And the depression where things were tough, right? They were tough. They were bad. And I've talked to them. I know they were pretty bad. In fact, a lot of people that went through that are very good about setting things aside because they know what it looks like not to have nothing, right? So that was bad, but the Bible's saying right here, it's like nothing the world has ever seen before. So that means it's going to get really bad. Really bad. Like nothing history has ever seen before or will ever. And then it says, unless those days had been cut short, that no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, for the sake of you and me and those believers that are on the earth at that time, God's going to cut it short. And the days will be cut short. And then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ over here, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And the elect would be those of you that have really good understanding of what's going on. And you'll still be challenged in your belief. It says, behold, I've told you in advance. So I've told you. You guys, I've told you what not to do. Don't run to somewhere and look for Christ or look for an outpouring of the Spirit because it's happening over there. If there's an outpouring of the Spirit, it'll happen right with you. You just need Jesus. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's not going to be standing in there somewhere and preaching and doing all this and doing all that. He's going to come right out of the sky just the way he went. And every eye will see. Everybody will know. Now, I'm not sure how he's going to make that happen, but with, you know, CNN headline news, I bet you we probably will. Everybody will tune into that moment, I bet you. And then he says, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. So listen, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Be in the Word. Pay attention to what God's saying. And man, be diligent to being Bible scholars. I mean, dig into this thing. If you read chapter 24 right there, that ought to just get you excited about, well, what is he talking about? And what's the rest of the story? Because there is. It's there. And then, verse 29, it says this. It says, but immediately after the tribulation, so there's going to be a seven-year period, which is a pretty fast period, 7 years of just desolation. I mean, stuff, bad. And then it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. Here's what I believe. I'm not, you know, when you look at the rapture, when the Lord will take us out, I'm not a pre, mid, or post believer. I am a pan believer. I believe when God takes us, it's it's all good. It'll pan out. That's what a pan believer is. Because there's different things that shows us different areas when God might come and do this. I know that he's going to do that. Why? Because he's going to protect his people. He always has, and he always will. Now, how he does that is up to him. All I need to do is be faithful to him in the midst of all of it. Now, if I kid myself and get all ready and go, I'm not going to have to go through this tribulation because God will protect me and take me out. Well, what if he didn't? Are you going to go, whoa, well, God must not be as good a God as I thought because he's making me suffer? I don't believe in a God that'll pull wings off me. Well, he's not doing that, right? Why? Because the Bible says he's preparing you right now. You guys, he's preparing you for these days right now. The question is, what are you prepared for? What are you looking at? Remember, so he told his disciples. What are you looking at? You're looking at all these buildings and you think that's all awesome and this worldly thing that you got your eyes focused on? Look, that's all going to get wiped out. So let me ask you this. In your world, what if everything that you had got taken away from you? Where would your belief be? Where would your belief system work on? How would you function? Well, and I'd let you. But what if all my stuff got wiped out? Then we'd go to the food pantry. There's your answer, right? You have to have a belief in God now and understand that he knows what's going on, even if times get difficult, right? Because tribulation is going to come. How he deals that and when and how it all works out is not my concern. What my concern is to keep my eyes on Jesus in the midst of all of it. That's my concern. And I can't allow circumstances to waver my thinking because it will happen. Devastating things will happen to you and me. It's happened in the past and it'll continue to happen in the future. It's what you do with them. You might lose a loved one. Some sickness might befall you, and you might have to suffer through that sickness. Where's your faith going to be then? If you don't get your mind wrapped around who Jesus is and what he did for you and who you are in Christ now, where will your faith be then? And then if you have everybody else saying, "Who this Christianity thing doesn't work," right? Where is God? Look. Everybody's starving to death and there's pestilence across our nation and you're still praying to your God. What are you going to do then? Just like Noah when he was building the ark and everybody was going, "You fool. We've never had rain fall out of the sky," or in their case, water fall out of the sky. "What are you talking about, flood, you moron?" And he keeps building his ark. Look at the idiot. Oh, groups of people all pointing and laughing. He keeps building his ark. And then what happens? They were laughing out the other side of their mouth when they wanted on that boat real bad, huh? So you guys are going to get laughed at. There's going to be people tell you that what you believe in is not true. I know it is true. You know how? Because I've studied the word and everything that was prophesied has happened. Except for the future. Everything up to this point, you look back, and that is statistically impossible. Doesn't work like that. Well, it has. And you can look at everything that was prophesied that would happen has happened. And I guarantee you, everything that's prophesied from our life forward will happen. And I don't know when that's all going to take place. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But we have the signs. We know that it's coming. And the Lord is telling us, prepare. Well, what does that mean? Well, what's God say it means? He says you prepare by filling your heart and life up with him and all that you are. And whatever he whispers, you do. Like for me, I don't want to trust in the world. I don't want to trust in cars or horses and whatever. I don't want to trust in the world system of things. Why? Because that's not my Savior. And if all of that falls away, guess what? It's not going to change me one little bit. I'll figure out how to survive when God allows me to do it. He'll feed me. He'll protect me. Has anybody figured out that God's your provider yet? If you figured that out, if you have, then you know you do what you can and God will do the rest. That's all you can do. You trust and believe and he'll take care of the rest. And so we have all these things put before us. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will darken and the moon will give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. We won't be here. When it comes to that, we won't be here. Right? That'll be after we're taken out. All this stuff will happen. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. So where is he coming? He's coming back the way he went. Right out of the clouds. Then we live in a good spot because it's cloudy here a lot. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So we know that God's going to take care of us, and he's going to gather us, and we're going to be good. But he has warned us that difficult times will be here. And when we go through those difficult times, where is your faith going to be? Who are you going to trust in? When it doesn't work out exactly the way you planned. In fact, it isn't working out at all the way you planned. And when that stuff happens, then the Bible says you will be challenged by what you believe. You will. He says even the elect will be challenged. Even those who know and have read, myself, Joey, those who've really studied the Word very clearly and know what it says, we're going to be challenged in our belief system when all this stuff happens. And he's warned us that ahead of time. Why? Because he knows how tricky the enemy is. He knows exactly how tricky he is. But it's not the stuff that's going to keep us faithful. Right? It's not what's going on out here that's going to keep us faithful. You know what's going to keep us faithful? Our relationship with Christ. Our daily relationship with Christ in the midst of all things. If you don't trust him now, you're probably not going to trust him then. Good chance you'll be the one that falls away. And there's going to be a huge chance. Why? Because he said many will do that. Now, the question is, you're going to have to consider this fact, right? You have to consider this fact in who you are. If the Bible tells you, if Jesus is saying to us, he's warned us, he told us in advance, didn't he just say that? I've warned you. These things are going to happen. Right? So you have to be honest with yourself and say, if many are going to fall away, then this is going to be a challenging deal. The question is, have you thought about it enough to know, and you've got it in your heart, mind, soul, spirit, you love God with all that you are, and it doesn't matter what happens, I'm not going to be shaken. Some of you are in midst circumstances right now. Some of you have been in circumstances that have shaken you a little bit. I have. I say, God, where are you? What are you doing? I've trusted in you, and you're not here right now. What's going on? You know what I found out? He was here. He was there the whole time. But he was training me, teaching me, showing me, challenging my faith. And your faith is going to get challenged too. And when it does, you need to come back to what Jesus said. People are going to fall away. Many will fall away. Many. And you might say, well, that many is not going to be me. And that's easy to say until all hell's breaking loose in your life. And you got nothing left. And then you're going to find out where you stand. This life has nothing to offer you guys. And if it's all taken away, it's probably going to be a benefit, not a detriment. because you're going to trust the Lord even more and more and more. And as we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, but all our ways, in all our ways, acknowledge him, he'll open the light and he'll get us to understand, and we'll walk through that light. We'll walk right there, no matter what's going on around us. And my challenge to you today is this. Think about what the scripture's saying. You know, it's easy just to read these things and what Jesus said, but he was telling his disciples very clearly that they would all get killed for their faith. And guess what? Every one of them did. Every one. And then he's saying, in these last days, same thing's going to happen to you. Because they don't live here now, right? Did they? So he wasn't talking to them about these days we're living in. He's saying, when this happens, you guys are going to be going through the same thing. Those of you who are alive during this time, and you know what? I'm thankful that I'm alive at this time. We're living in some exciting times, like never before in history, right? We're watching things. We've seen things happen that a lot of people in history never got to see. You know, in the Dark Ages, in those 400 years where God never did anything, right? Remember that? If you look at your history, there's a 400-year period when God just didn't do nothing. Just let people just do their thing and live. See what was going to happen. Then he had to intervene again. Well, God's not dead. Has anybody seen that movie yet? It's worth watching. It's good. His faith was challenged. God's not dead. He's alive. He's very alive. And he's working right here, right now. And he's even speaking to some of you guys. How would I fare in the midst of bad tribulation? How would I do? God never intended us to walk alone. And listen, we together need to stay together when things are happening. Look, you're not going to be the Lone Ranger. You can't do it on your own. You're going to have some other people to work with. And we can do it together through Christ, as him as our leader, and we follow him however we do. And whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. But listen, there's going to be challenging times. Does everybody see it coming? There's challenging times. It's coming. Our system is failing quickly. And in a $17 trillion deficit, we're not going to pay that back. Not in our lifetime. Not in our grandchildren's lifetime. They won't do it. And we're increasing about tenfold and as the years pass. Like last year, it tripled. Next year, what's it going to look like? It's very easy to see if you can see it. But if you got your head stuck in the dirt and think none of this is going to touch you, don't kid yourself. You're going to feel it. It's going to happen. And this one world system is going to happen. And there's going to be leaders that's going to happen, that's going to control the whole thing. And they're going to have everything, and we're going to have nothing, just like the Bible says. And we'll be a slave to the system. And when that happens, trust in the Lord. Follow him. Because our rights will be taken away. Our freedoms will be taken away. Lots of things will be taken away from you that you have right now that you won't have then. And there's nothing you can do about it except for die. Which a lot of us will. Amen. But stand for your faith. Listen, I'm not one of those preachers that stand up and tell you all feel good stuff. Sorry. I wished I was better at it. I'm one that God has called to tell the truth. And I know lots of people don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather not listen to this. But to me, I think it's good news. And you can take it however you want, but in my world belief, in my system of believing, I trust in the Lord. And I know this is good news. This is good news. Why? Because he's in the midst of every bit of this, and he's already told us in advance. And he said he'd take us through it. He'll take care of us. Now, what that means, I don't know, but I know in the end it'll all work out good. It will. It may not seem like it at the time, but it will. It'll work out just fine. And we'll go on to be with the Lord. And then the end will come. And some of us, the end will come sooner than that, right? We may not see that, like Mary, like my dad, my folks probably. But my grandchildren might. And so if we have anything to pray about, pray that they will know the truth and not be shaken, right? Or your kids. That's why it says teach them. Share this stuff with them. And if they don't want to listen, kick them. Oh. Yeah, try again. Make it important. Make it important that they understand and do it in a loving way. And they will hear it. And even if they don't hear it now, when they see these things happen, right, then they will. They'll look back and they go, wow, what mom and dad was telling me is right. It's happening and I'm seeing it. But if they don't, but if you don't tell them and they don't read it, how are they going to know? Right? Then what? Then you'll be wishing you kicked them. And they'll be wishing they got kicked. So tell them the truth. Don't lie to them. Don't tell them, oh, it's all going to be okay. Well, it is. But it might come with some difficult times. So prepare. Now, what is the Lord saying in preparation for you? I don't know. I know what he's telling me. And I'm doing the best I can to prepare. You know, I'm preparing spiritually, number one, and that's number one for every one of us. Prepare spiritually. And the second thing is prepare physically. And what does that mean for you? You need to listen to the Lord. I wouldn't be chasing the doomsday preppers tomorrow, you know. Don't dig your big hole in the ground and put you a tank, because I don't think that's going to help you. Probably not. But there are people that believe that will. I believe you just need to listen to the Lord. And what he says for you to do, by all means, do that. You know, and everybody else, what they're saying, I don't know, I've heard all kinds of stories and weirdness. I mean, sometimes it's way out there. But I think a little preparation isn't bad. You know, get your finances in order. That'd be number one, because the borrower becomes the lender's slave. If you're way out there hanging out there financially, then guess who owns you? Whoever you're in debt to. That's what the Bible says. So don't hang yourself too far out there. I mean, there's bound to be some things you have to be in debt for, but try not to get too far out there, because then you'll be left with nothing. So prepare in spiritual sense, and then prepare physically, whatever God's saying to you. We're going to get into this some more. And is anybody scared? If you don't be scared, you just need to know and have your faith in the Lord. Don't be afraid of these things, because he didn't write this stuff for us to be scared. When you read Revelation, I like Revelation, and you want to talk about a scary book. I mean, it is, man, it gets wild in there. But those things will happen. But you're on the boat. It's what you got to remember, right? If you've accepted Christ in your life, and you're all in, right, and you're walking that way, you got nothing to fear. In fact, you got everything to rejoice about. I mean, you should be the happiest person on planet Earth. Why? Because you've got it. You got the winning lottery ticket, man. You're in. You're on the boat. And nobody can take that from you. So that's a rejoicing thing. The reality is God's teaching us. Jesus has taught us this. He's told us about the past that we've watched happen, the world wars and the rumors of wars and all that stuff's gone on. We've seen all that. We know what that looks like. Now he's talking about the future. When he talked about the future, he's talking about Israel and where it is right now and all these people coming against it. And they're going to build this temple and they're going to start their sacrifices up with the red heifer. They're going to put all of the table, the showbread and all that stuff in place. And they're going to do the sacrifice thing. And they're all going to go in there and do the Old Testament thing and think God's going to protect them. And that's not going to do a thing for them. Because why? Because the Antichrist is going to come right in there and take over it. And he's going to say, stop the sacrifices, for God has arrived. That's what the Bible says. And everybody's going to go, oh, he's come. The Messiah has come. He's come to save us. Right? And he's going to go, I am God, worship me. Abomination of desolation. When that happens, if you're here and see that, then you need to know. Right after that, God's going to, things are going to happen. Whoa, whoa. And if you're in Israel, you better leave. Right? Isn't that what it says? For them people that are there, a bad place to be at that time, because all hell's going to break loose. So we're watching for certain things to come and take place. We're watching that to take place. And if you get your eyes on what's going on, guys, it's interesting. Very interesting what's happening. It's all falling into place exactly the way the Lord said. And the world system is doing the same thing. It's all falling into place. And it's interesting to live in the days that we live in. And I'm thankful for it, aren't you? It helps us keep our mind on Christ. It helps us keep our focus on the Lord and not on the system. Because you can get sidetracked so easy on what's going on. You know, jump on the bandwagon, save the world. I got news for you. The world is not going to be saved. The world is going to die. And that's good. We want it to. So that Christ's reign will reign and people will all live underneath his kingship. And then it will be good. In this system, it's not going to be good. Why? Because mankind tries to rule it. And I want God to rule it. Hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful for all of your words, Lord, that you speak to us and you prepare us and we understand what's coming. We understand the days that we're living in. And Lord, we're so thankful to be in them. That should draw us together closer as believers to hang on to one another and keep our faith strong. Lord, because we know that the days ahead of us are perilous. There's going to be some tough times. And Lord, we're thankful that God, you have warned us and you've prepared us, that our hearts are open to you. And Lord, we will get our strength from you alone. And so God, I pray for each person in this room that as they've heard this message today, that they don't be frightened and they're not scared, but they truly would be drawn to you, Lord, as their Savior. You are our ark. You're our saving place. And Lord, we're thankful that you've given that to us in advance and you've shared the word with us. So we ask God that you would bless us with understanding and that we'd be joyful in all things because we know who you are. And Lord, that you would bless our fellowship as we break this time and open up the sessions, Lord, for coffee and fellowship. And Lord, that we would talk about